You're rocking with Professor Dean on the State of Reed podcast. This is an action reaction about the Final Four, in the NBA, not the NCAA. But this whole episode is going to be about basketball, basically the NBA, specifically this year in the NBA, because we're going to talk about not just the rookie of the year, the shit was all good just a year ago, player of the year, meaning who actually made their team worse or gotten worse as a player. We're going to talk about the comeback player of the year, but we're also going to talk about the most overrated teams of the year. We're going to talk about NBA basketball. We're going to talk some shit. We're going to have some fun. We're going to talk some sports. We're going to get into it. This is not the official episode 10. This is just going to be a straight up action reaction State of Reed podcast about the NBA, the Final Four. Let's get into it, y'all. So what's good, It's Professor Dean. And we're going to get to an action reaction. The first thing we're going to cover in this NBA season, my reaction about who should win what awards should go to who. Check it out. My most improved player of the year is obviously the one and only Victor Oladipo from Indiana Pacers, number 4. He was killing it all year, and then he really showed his game in the playoffs, man. That's where you make your name, right? And so he put his game out there. He pretty much almost pulled off an upset against the legendary one and only LeBron James, King James. Took him to 7 games. That's my most improved player of the year. Truth is, coming out of college in Indiana, I was a huge fan. People compared him in his game a lot like Michael Jordan as far as his ability to get to the rack and his cat-like moves. The dude got skills. He got some talent. He can sing. He's been in dunk contests a couple times, but he's nowhere near an MJ, obviously. But the boy can play. The boy can ball. Much props to Victor Oladipo. I hope he gets the Most Improved Player of the Year award. But that's who my Most Improved Player is this year. All right? Whether y'all agree with that or not, hit us up on Instagram, hit us up on Facebook. And let me just add this little nugget for y'all to think about. Who did he used to play with last year? He used to play with this dude in Oklahoma City, right? And the funny thing is a lot of his dribble pull-up now, crossover hezzy pull-up, looks a lot like Russ's. But at the same time, he got to really blossom now that he has his own team. And he really get to do that when he was playing with Russ. So it's kind of ironic and funny, but that's something to think about. On the flip side of that now, we're going to talk about the not-so-improved player of the year. And I have two pairs of dudes that I honestly was very, very disappointed this year in these four guys specifically in the way they kind of finished off the playoffs. And most of the guys we're talking about made the playoffs, right? So the first pair that I'm going to talk about is Cat, Carl Anthony Towns, and Andrew Wiggins. Come on, man. Y'all got to show and prove. You guys got to play better, especially in the playoffs. Obviously, Tibbs is a huge problem. Coach Tibbs is a huge problem in their growth. But they both, they got to be better, man. They're still young men. I think Carl Anthony Towns is 22 years old. You know, Andrew Wiggins is probably 23. But and they have a bright future, obviously. The boys, those fellas can really, really play. But they just didn't play well in the playoffs, man. They did not show improve. Honestly, really, really disappointed for them to not even barely, you know, be competitive against the Houston Rockets. That was a bad draw, but still expected more out of them, even with Jimmy Butler on the team. And then the other two pair of dudes that were a total disappointment this year, honestly, were the guys that just got swept by LeBron James. And that's Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, man. They had an amazing year, number one seed in the East, and then got swept in the second round. That's ridiculous. That shit is redonkulous. We ain't even going to use that right now. We shouldn't be using it. But seriously, though, you can't get swept, man. Not when you go as the number one seed into the playoffs. You just can't get swept. It's not okay. And the big part of that, we will talk about it when it comes to coaching as we get there. But that shit was whack. You cannot get swept. It's truly disappointing. Those are my not-so-improved player of the years. And that's four dudes I just named off. But anyways, jumping right next into the defensive player of the year, who the guy I think should win defensive player of the year is the one and only Anthony Davis from New Orleans Pelicans. Had an amazing year, led the league in blocks. Dude's been balling, man, especially with DeMarcus Cousins out. He's just been killing everybody. And if you watch his game, he's improved over the year, not just with his jumper and his three-point range, but specifically going left, going right to different shoulders. His ball handling has always been amazing because he was a guard in Chicago. So if you don't know that about him, he was a point guard in high school. The boy can always ball handle, but now he's comfortable in the paint. He can do fadeaway left, fadeaway right, jump hook, right? So he has a little floater in this game. And defensively, he's just always been a dominant player if you watched him at Kentucky. So defensive player of the year, Anthony Davis, well-deserved. Truth is, Anthony Davis is probably one of the top five MVP candidates this year, too. So that's who my defensive player of the year is. Moving right along. Our sixth man of the year, I'm selecting Mr. Will Barton from the Denver Nuggets. 6'5 swing man, plays the three, plays the two, plays defense, hits threes, you know, does a lot for that team. Came off the bench this year. A lot of y'all may not know who he is, but I feel like he was the best sixth man this year if you got to watch him play against the Warriors, against the Rockets, against the Wolves. During that stretch run, they were trying to make the playoffs. I mean, he was doing everything. The boy can play. Will Barton, sixth man of the year for me. Denver Nuggets, check him out. University of Memphis, I believe. That's who I'm selecting this year. This next story is kind of amazing. I think he's truly the player, or the comeback player of the year. Jrue Holiday, UCLA's finest. His wife last year was actually pregnant with their child and also fighting a brain tumor. And he had to take some time off, man, to be with his family, take care of his child and take care of his wife. So in my humble opinion, Jrue Holiday definitely deserves the comeback player of the year. You know, that's just unbelievable resiliency on his part and his family's part. Obviously his child and his wife, and shout out to them, to their amazing family, man. That's unbelievable. So if you don't know that story, look it up. Jrue Holiday from the New Orleans Pelicans and the things that he had to go through last year. And shout out to their organization for understanding that and giving him time off to do all that. So comeback player of the year, Jrue Holiday, UCLA's finest, Bruin Nation. I'm a huge Bruin fan. So Southern California guy, grew up watching those guys play. But that's my comeback player of the year. And we're going to keep it just moving right along in this show. Since this is an emergency podcast on the Action Reaction, rocking with Professor Dean, we're talking about the NBA basketball playoffs, the Final Four. The next segment or the next actual award and people I want to talk about is the debate that everybody's been having, which is the Rookie of the Year. Who's the Rookie of the Year? Who's the real Rookie of the Year? Is it Jason Tatum, who's just tearing up the playoffs right now, just putting, you know, up ridiculous numbers and just busting people's ass, specifically on the 76ers, just busting people's ass. He just was killing folks tonight in the final game where they beat the 76ers against Joel Embiid. Is it him? Or is the Rookie of the Year on the opposite end who he's playing against tonight, Mr. Ben Simmons? BS was balling tonight, or was he balling tonight? But he had a huge year. He had an amazing year. He was out last year due to injury. Is he even a real rookie? Would you consider the dude a real rookie and question that actual title of what a rookie is, right? And then my Rookie of the Year is the one and only Spider Mitchell, number 45, Donovan Mitchell from the Utah Jazz, University of Louisville, got held back by Coach Patino, who didn't really let him ball out and just destroy people in college. My dude is what Samuel L. Jackson would say, a badass motherfucker. All right, he's a badass motherfucker, just lighting motherfuckers up, just running down and toasting people up. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Donovan Mitchell, my Rookie of the Year. I just got to keep it 100. That dude he basically carried the Utah Jazz to the second round against the number one seed in the Western Conference Finals. Not the Eastern Conference Finals, in the West. A rookie. Just killing. And they beat the so-called talented, you know, super team in OKC. I mean, they whooped their ass. So, Rookie of the Year, that's easy. Spider Mitchell, 45 and bang. Mr. Donovan Mitchell, he is just killing it. So, Rookie of the Year. And, you know, obviously Rick Pitino held him back somehow. And even Terry Rozier is balling. And he played at University of Louisville. I don't think people have thought to put that all together. Why all these Louisville dudes are just killing it now. And in college, they were having a hard time making it to the Final Four. So, I don't get it. But, well, I know and I get it. But that's my Rookie of the Year, Donovan Mitchell. And no, Ben Simmons is not a rookie, so I can't even put him in the category. You gave your eligibility, man. This ain't college. There ain't no red shirting. You gave it up. Same thing with Joel Embiid. He still think he a rookie. He hasn't played a full season, so come on, man. Get out of here, Philly fans. I ain't hating, though. I think Ben Simmons is a stud. I'm a huge Ben Simmons fan, huge Embiid fan. And the true rookie on that team. So here's the thing. My not-so-rookie of the year, the two rookies that need to show and prove were not even mentioned, which is the number one pick this past year and the number two pick. Markelle Fultz, University of Washington, who played for the 76ers, right? He's a real rookie, and he couldn't play this year. For some reason, whatever they did to his shot, I don't know, man. Be careful who y'all hire as trainers out there. You could always holler at me, but I'm just saying, be careful who you hire as trainers and screwing up people's shots. That's something you should not be doing. And then the other so-called big-name rookie that came in was from Bruin Nation as well, and that's Lonzo Ball, trying to do it for the culture, but he ain't doing it for the game. Stop worrying about your shoe line and your TV show, bro. Stop doing it for the culture and do it. Like, do it on the basketball court, bro. Get your ass on the court and ball out, man, because he struggled this year. He didn't have a great year, so all that hype's around him, too. I mean, you got to show and prove. So, the not-so-rookie of the year, Markelle Fultz, Lonzo Ball, you get that award. The rookie of the year, Spider Mitchell, 45 and bang. Donovan Mitchell was balling. Shout out to Donovan Mitchell, Utah Jazz. Got a gem in the draft, man. Keeping the show moving right along since I'm on that solo dolo tip. You know what I mean? Next episode, I just want to say this. Next episode, we will have Coach For Real back on finally. He's at a Kendrick Lamar concert right now. He's living that good life. But it's all love. It's all love. He'll be back. Episode 10, we're going to talk about the deeper stuff and have more fun in that one as well. But moving right along, the MVP. Who was the MVP this year? Who really was the MVP of the National Basketball Association? Honestly, this is a really easy one for me. It's more about who was not the MVP this year. But the MVP this year was James Harden. He improved in every area of his game. If you look at the numbers, from assists to ratio to turnovers, three-point percentages, free throw, everything got better for James Harden. And people had a lot of questions about him and Chris Paul coming together. But more props to James Harden and the Houston Rockets, the number one seed in the West. The only thing that did not improve and was not the MVP for James Harden was his defense still. But he's gotten better. He's just standing there and watch people run by him. So they're about to go to the Western Conference Finals and play the Golden State Warriors. But he's the MVP this year. So James Harden, the MVP. Now, this is the war and the actual conversation I really want to talk about. And I'm going to piss some of y'all off. But this specific award is called Shit Was All Good Just a Week Ago. I mean, a year ago. It was all sweet just a year ago. When he won the MVP, Mr. Triple-Double, Mr. LA's Finest, Mr. UCLA Bruin. There's so many reasons why I root for Russell Westbrook. I root for Russ for so many reasons. I've rooted for him in college. I've heard about this dude in high school. I've been rooting for this dude for years and years and years. Shit was all good just a year ago, man. And he is the winner of that award because the truth is he won MVP last year. He got amazing numbers again this year. He was an amazing player this year as well as last year. It's not the point. The point is dude had two All-Stars with him, and he had Steven Adams, and they couldn't get past the first round against Spider Mitchell. I don't get it. I really don't. It doesn't make any sense. The truth is, what I really think happened is over the years, he's become Frankenstein, man. He's just become, the coaches have allowed him to do whatever the hell he wants. And the truth is, when KD left, OKC probably felt bad, and the staffing and the organization wanted him to kind of uplift the city, and And he probably felt that same way. So he took it on, the challenge, and went on to win the MVP, averaging a triple-double. Unbelievable season. But the truth is, I think that actually made him a worse player. He's one of the few players over the years that you can watch as he's getting older. His game has not changed. And it's actually getting worse. And as they add good players around him, he's not making other guys improve. Oladipo left, got better. Obviously, KD left and won his championship. Guys, you know, Cantor is playing better in New York and when he left. And so it's kind of sad, man. It's really, she was all sweet just a year ago, man. And the Brody, who is literally one of my favorite players and why I love watching him play, the comeback game they played against Utah, I think it was, I believe it was game four, but when he just went off in the third quarter. Is why I love Russ. Russ is literally one of my favorite players of all time. But I've seen him. I just don't know what to say, man. I feel like when Scott Brooks was there, he allowed Russ to kind of over-dribble and have everybody stand in the corner or run one little stagger screen for KD, and then he would just dribble until he couldn't get a shot off and then kick it to KD. And if you watch what's happening in Washington, with the Wizards, the same thing with John Wall and Bradley Beal. I mean, Scott Brooks, I think, kind of created that culture, and I put that on Scott Brooks. When KD left, obviously he left for different reasons and for a lot of probably similar reasons that we see right now, which is, can you really play with Russ and win? And it's sad because I'm rooting for Russ to get better. I'm rooting for him to do well, but, man, for you to have Paul George and Carmelo Anthony and not – advanced past the first round against a rookie and the Utah Jazz, it makes no sense to me. So he is awarded the "shit was all good just a year ago" award. Makes me sad. But anyways, I had to speak on that because it bugged me out that they lost in the playoff that early.
What in the fuck was that, Kanye?
With that being said, we're going to jump right into talking about Kanye West week. I'm kidding. That's actually on the next episode, episode 10, officially. We're going to talk about the dude formerly known as Kanye. I don't know what he's known as now. I ain't even going to talk about that right now. Y'all, so y'all just got to tune in. Episode 10, baby. We're going to jump from the MVP and the shit was all good just a year ago to finally the, I think, most ridiculous so far award of the year for the NBA. We still in the NBA, y'all. So if you're tuning in, we're talking about action, reaction sports with the NBA. The coach of the year. The coach of the year for me. Well, first of all, today, tonight, specifically today and tonight, though, the announcement came out that Dwayne Casey from the Toronto Raptors won the Coach of the Year award. Come on, man. Come on, man. Are you serious, though? Like, for real, though. Like, seriously, though. On a real level. Brad Stevens did not receive a single vote. Now, I'm torn about who should actually win the award. I mean, if you think about it, Dwayne Casey won the East, had the best record. They were the number one seed in the East. You could say Mike D'Antoni had a hell of a year in the West, coaching the Houston Rockets. You can say that my man Quinn Snyder, who is a slickster, who is an amazing coach, should have got consideration and probably won an award too, considering he took a rookie and his team to just spank that ass with OKC. You can even consider Coach Greg Popovich as the coach of the year, considering all the things he went through with no Kawhi Leonard, all the drama in San Antonio, not really having a 1-2 punch with LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard, having Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker as, you know, some of the main players still for him to win those games and to be in the playoff position he was in. And tragically, during the NBA playoffs, he lost his spouse, partner, and wife, which was tragic altogether. So these are all possible candidates that you could say are the Coach of the Year. But for me, it's really simple. Coach of the Year was Brad Stevens of the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens is an amazing coach. He's always been good, man. And if you watch college basketball, Brad Stevens took several teams deep into the NCAA tourney and actually took two teams back-to-back into the Final Four. So he's an amazing coach, and he's my coach of the year. On a personal note, I reached out to Brad Stevens several years ago to work with him as an assistant coach, to be a videographer, whatever he could open up for me, cold turkey, you know. And he was one of the few coaches that emailed me back personally, talked to me over the phone. An amazing dude, man. And I'm rooting for him and his success with his team. He's an amazing coach. And so rooting for Brad's team's success, and he deserved the Coach of the Year. But for some reason, he didn't get a single vote, man. Are you kidding me? A single vote. And Dwayne Casey, who blew it and got swept in the second round to LeBron James, got the Coach of the Year. Dwayne Casey is the same coach, and I'm going to talk about this now. He's a not-so-Coach of the Year for me. He is not the Coach of the Year for me because he blew it all. If you think about this, man, you cannot not play your star player in the last 2 minutes, even if he's struggling. You can use him as a decoy. Do something. Your job as a coach, just like a boss, just like a leader of a department, is to put him in a position to be successful. Put your guys in a position to be successful. That's what a coach's job is, right? So I don't get how you don't put DeMar in the game when they needed him. And this is why I disagree with the dumbass NBA journalists and writers that voted, that didn't even give Brad Stevens a vote. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This shit is redonkulous. Now that shit right there is redonkulous, because he was the Coach of the Year. He had no Kyrie Irving. He had no Gordon Hayward. He had a bunch of young bucks and he had Al Horford and Morris as his elder statesmen, with Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Terry Rozier. Those were his guys that carried him and have been carrying him to this point. He's motivated his players, Brad Stevens has, and has been unbelievable. Dwayne Casey, come on, man. Yo, come on, man. You got to double LeBron on the full court situation and trap the dude and get the ball out of his hands for at least 2 seconds. There was 6 seconds left on the clock, or five. For him to hit a game winner and take your heart out and eat in front of everybody like that, he basically took the Raptors' heart out, ate that shit, and tossed it back to Drake. Matter of fact, it's Drake's fault. Just like Spike Lee used to sit around at the Madison Square Garden and talk shit to everybody, Reggie Miller, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant would come up there and light their ass up. And in Madison Square Garden, it's Drizzy's fault. All you Champagne Poppy fans, hey, yo, hit that dude up on Twitter and tell him to stop going to Toronto games, because he's pissing off all the dudes that go up there to play him. KD lighting their ass up. LeBron lighting their ass up. Steph Curry lighting their ass up. Making DeMar DeRozan get depressed and sitting in the corner with his anxiety. My man be stressed the fuck out. And Kyle Lowry be staying late to shoot shots because he can't be hitting. He scored 5 points in the last game. Are you kidding me? Or 13 or some shit? Or took 5 shots. Come on, man. Yo, come on, Toronto. Get your shit together. Oh, and speaking of another coach who blew that shit, we're talking about Brett Brown, Philadelphia 76ers. He got outcoached by Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens is what we call in basketball terminology, was just dialing it up. He's just dialing it up. In coaching, we call that baseline out-of-bounds plays, or specifically in this case, these were sideline out-of-bounds plays, or what we call slobs, right? Sideline out-of-bounds plays. Knowing that 76ers were going to switch off every screen, he dialed it up and used the switch against them and got it to the big man, Al Horford, with the game winner. Every timeout he took, Brad Stevens, that is, they came out with 2 points in a bucket or a foul. If you watch that game, go back and watch that game. You'll see that happen. On the opposite end, I don't know why the hell Ben Simmons is not taking out the ball. I don't know why you would run it to Joel Embiid with J.J. Redick inbounding the ball. Made no sense. Threw it away. How do you go from being up 4 to up 2 to tying the game up? That shit was nuts, man. and then blowing up the lead, and then hitting a crazy corner three-pointer, and then they two-pointer, which they thought they won in Philly, dropped the confetti, and then got their ass kicked. That's why you should be never prematurely celebrating with no damn confetti, because that confetti led to your overtime loss, man. So Brett Brown got out-coached by Brad Stevens, another reason why Brad Stevens should have been Coach of the Year. As we wind this down, I was going to keep it 100, the most overrated team of the year. Drum roll, please, and some horn, please. The most overrated team of the year was the Washington Wizards. That team was whack. Everything about the writing is on the wall, if you know what I mean. John Wall or Bradley Beal, one of them got to go. They don't play well together. Scott Brooks should have been fired already. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be calling out nobody's jobs. But Scott Brooks, he did the same thing in OKC. So if you don't believe me, go back and watch the film, watch the plays, watch how they play. Nobody's getting better. And that's the most overrated team this year to me. With that being said, the team with the brightest future, obviously, is the two teams we just watched battle between Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. Amazing two young teams that are just getting after it. The Boston Celtics will not make the NBA Finals this year, but I can pretty much guarantee if Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving are healthy next year, it will be the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals versus the one and only Golden State Warriors, and that will be a hell of a game because Jason Tatum is a full-on stud with Jaylen Brown. I mean, those guys basically are taking over that team. And when Kyrie and Gordon Hayward come back, they better earn their spots because those two boys are balling on both sides of the court, man. They defend and they get after it. They're not as consistent, obviously, as Gordon or Kyrie. But Kyrie and Gordon got to stay healthy, right? And they will pose a threat to the Golden State Warriors, man. They're long and they're well-coached. And they're the Golden State Warriors of the East, to be honest, if you watch the way that team is built now. They got a bunch of threes, fours, twos, and ones that can be switched in different positions, play multiple positions and defend. So anyways, I'm talking basketball talk. And so that's who I think the teams of the futures are. Oh, yeah, and I almost forgot about the Minnesota Timberwolves. Do me a favor, Minnesota Timberwolves. You should probably get rid of Coach Thibodeau. Why? I'm not calling nobody's job out, but Coach Tibbs has a history of really overplaying all his players. Joakim Noah, this guy named MVP Derrick Rose, who was once my favorite player, along with all the other dudes that have played. Jimmy Butler, worn down already. He's suffering through injuries this year because Thibodeau's philosophy is playing six men deep, seven guys deep. This shit is whack. And he needs to get with the times, and they slow down the game. While he has all this talent, Andrew Wiggins is not playing to his full potential, as I mentioned earlier, and neither is Cat Williams. Karl-Anthony Towns is shooting threes instead of posting up James Harden, getting his ass in foul trouble, and getting him out of the game. That shit is ridiculous. So, off the switches, Cat should have been catching in the post, lighting his ass up, and getting James in foul trouble, or Chris Paul, or somebody. But anyways, I'm just podcasting, talking shit. But I will end it like this, since I've gone on a 30-minute sports rant about the NBA. So the final four teams are the Boston Celtics versus the LeBron Cavs. I picked the LeBron Cavs to win the series in six games. So the Cavs in six. Brad Stevens and his team will steal two games, but that's it. They won't have enough to get over the hill and beat LeBron James, King James, and he will go to the NBA Finals again. Jeez Louise, the East is so damn weak. But anyways, in the West, you got Houston versus the Golden State Warriors. I have it going six with the Golden State Warriors whooping that ass in six games. I just don't think Houston has the depth and personnel to match up with the Warriors. And if you switch with the Warriors, man, and you ain't switching with some other dudes, they're going to light your ass up. So I got the Warriors in six. And then the NBA will do its best to extend the finals for the fourth time in 4 years. The Warriors will be playing the Cleveland Cavaliers. And they will do their best to extend the games by just making them 2 days or 3 days apart. But the reality is the Warriors are going to sweep that ass. They will sweep. You heard it here first. They will sweep the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA Finals. It will be light work. Hashtag light work. Hashtag light that ass up. GSW Dub Nation, stand up. It's a wrap. That's what I'm calling. You heard it here first. The funny thing is, in the Western Conference Finals, the Houston Rockets are favored in the first game by 2. But the Warriors are still a favorite to win the series by Vegas odds. Cleveland is also favored to win by Vegas odds the series versus the Boston Celtics, obviously. But with all that being said, the Golden State Warriors, 2018 NBA champs, MVP again. Well, this time around will be Steph Curry, SC30, the deadliest shooter in the game. And that's who I got. If y'all don't agree with me, let me know. Y'all I've been quiet, so hit me up. I can't wait to hear people talk about this one. Facebook me, Twitter me. You know what it is. State of Reap Podcast, Action Reaction, NBA Final Four, NBA Playoffs on the State of Reap Podcast. Thank you for listening. This has been an emergency podcast on the State of Reap Podcast. We're going to be back this weekend. Me and Coach For Real, we're going to be talking crazy. Kanye West on the Shit Is Redonkulous. We're going to be talking music with the KOD, with J. Cole. We're going to talk about some documentaries. We're talking books. We're talking the 10,000-hour rule. We're going to jump into that this time around on a deeper level, and we're going to get into it. Again, you're listening to the State of Reap Podcast on iTunes Radio. You're rocking with Professor Dean. Hit us up on all the social media outlets listed below. Thank you so much for listening to me rant and rave about hoops, the NBA, sports. We appreciate you and we thank you. Until next time, you know what it is. One time for your mind, one time. Professor Dean signing off on this emergency podcast, y'all. And remember, everybody, we are our relationships and who we invest in. So invest wisely, fam. We out.